Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Let's read this verse together. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. All together. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Then turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. And we'll read verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. All together, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for today that we remember fathers. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to take our responsibility as fathers seriously. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today is Father's Day. The day that we celebrate those that we call dad. Now, I know some are not fathers yet. Some are fathers. Some are grandfathers. But all these principles we can apply to our lives. Now, there are those around today who attempt to diminish the role of fatherhood or make the man of the house look foolish and incompetent. But God places a premium on the impact men are to have on the lives of their children. While many abandon their responsibility to their children, let the fathers here, the potential fathers, and those who are grandfathers be what our children and grandchildren need them to be. As fathers, we are to train up a child in the way that they are to go. Now, to train means to exercise, to discipline, and form a practice. Now, there are three basic elements involved in training children according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Now, that verse says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, the first step in training a child is to be a good example. We must show them the pattern. We must be visible, living illustration of what we want our children to become. That is why our character must remain consistently godly if our children are to develop properly. The second step is to nurture them. Now, the word nurture means to nourish, to teach, or educate. To bring them up by instruction and imparting to them the governing principles of life. We read that very thing was commanded by God in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 9. Those verses read, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now notice, we are to put the word of God in our hearts first. And thou shalt teach them diligently, not haphazardly, but diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Now, while this was given to the Old Testament Jew, it is to be practiced by the New Testament Christian father as he nourishes up his children by the way of instruction. The third step is to admonish them. Now, the word admonish means to publicly or privately reprove an offender. Its purpose is to reinforce the principles the child has been nurtured with. It is for correction. As fathers, we ought to bring up or train up our children, not only to bring them up into adulthood or to become solid citizens, but we are to point them to the things of God and to live in a manner that pleases the Lord. Some Christian fathers neglect this aspect of training. and instead focus their children's training on making a good living in this world, having the finer things in this life, instead of being what God would have them to be. I've been told by a number of parents that their children are doing quite well. They will tell me that they have a good job, good paying job, that they live in a nice home. Maybe they even graduated from college and they are happily married. And after all their bragging is over, I ask them, well, how's your child's walk with God? Are they in a biblically sound church? Are they living for the Lord? And I find most will have to say no. But how can they tell me that their child is doing well when they are so estranged from God? My point is, the spiritual needs to take precedence over everything else in the training up of our children. Father, this can't be left to the church. The church only has your children for 3-4 hours a week. They need you to instruct them the rest of the time. You need to set the example. You must nurture them in teaching them biblical principles and be willing to correct them when they do wrong. That should never be overlooked. If we develop godly character in our children when they are young and reinforce it while they remain in our home, don't you think we can claim what is written in Proverbs 22, verse 6, which says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not, what? Depart from it. Now, this does not mean that a properly trained child is incapable of doing wrong. But it does mean that they have a tendency to do what is right, and they have a desire to do so. When I moved into my home nearly 6 years ago, there was a small oak tree that was planted in my front yard. And you know what? It leaned to the right. Now, if it's going to lean anyway, it might as well lean to the right. Now, if I left it all to itself, how many believe that it would have straightened up all on its own? Raise your hand. Well, it won't. Now, of course, it took some effort on my part to run down the people who take care of our yard to talk to the guy that does the yard work and says, hey, you need to straighten out my tree. I don't want a crooked tree. I want it straight. And he came over, straightened that baby up, and now it's straight as an arrow. I had to do a lot of work for that to happen. Now, do you realize children are born with a bent to do wrong? And left to themselves, the Bible says they'll bring their mother to shame. Now, David said this in Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, David has given a testimony that we all have. And that is, we are all conceived with a sin nature. We all have a bent to do that which is wrong. And every child needs to be straightened up just like the rest of us. Amen. That's why Psalm 58:3 tells us, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Have you ever noticed you don't have to tell your children to do wrong? They do it all on their own. Now, I would say most parents don't teach their children to lie, but they lie. I would venture to say most of them don't teach their children to steal, but they just take that which doesn't belong to them. And they think nothing about it. I mean, all kinds of things need to be straightened out in the lives of our children. They don't naturally say please and thank you. That's why you got to drill it into them. And some, even when they get older, don't even get the message. They have a bent to do wrong. And it takes training. That their lives must be straightened out. And dads, we play a big role in that. And to neglect that responsibility causes us to raise a bunch of fools. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Dads, we must form the character of our children with biblical principles, not with what we think. This kind of diligent training will not only have an effect on our children, but on future generations as well. This is seen in the book of Jeremiah when it comes to the Rechabites taking a stand on abstinence from alcohol. Now we read this in Jeremiah 35, verse 6 and 8, and verse 14. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters. Good advice, and good advice for us today. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. Now here Jeremiah is saying, you know what? The Rechabites, they listen to their father. But you know what? I've been commanding you and telling you what God says, and you don't obey Him. Now, these words of Jonadab concerning abstinence from alcohol, notice this, were spoken 300 years earlier. And they were passed on from one generation to the next. My point is, fathers, your training and your words can have a far more reach and effect than you can ever imagine. So train your children well and be diligent in developing in them godly character. Don't let them be just characters. The Bible also warns of lingering effects of the sins a father commits. In Exodus 34, verse 7, it says this, keep in mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Numbers 14:8 says this, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations. Now, in these two verses, God is not telling us that our children are being punished because of the sins of the fathers. For every one of us is held accountable for our own words and for our own actions. These verses are emphasizing the father's lack of properly training his children and the degradation that follows. Them not being the example that God intended them to be. What one generation tolerates, the next generation embraces. And the third generation promotes what the previous generation dabbles in and feels guilty about. What one generation does in moderation with no guilt, the next generation will do in excess. To prevent such a catastrophe, fathers must train their children up in a biblical manner. To do so, we must hearken back to our text verse once again, and that verse tells us, and ye what? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So dads, both young, old, on this Father's Day, let's commit ourselves to being the examples we need to be to our children and to our grandchildren. To tell your children, do as I say and not as I do, will only provoke them to wrath and rebellion. Double standards and hypocrisy on our part are the easiest ways to provoke our children and turn them away from the Lord. Let me tell you, you live one way in the church and another way at home, you're provoking your children. You ought to live a consistent, godly life no matter where you're at. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. We must both do and teach as Jesus did. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. You want to know why Jesus was so effective in His teaching? It's because He was a doer of what He taught. Here in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, Luke writes this, "The former treaties have I made," speaking of the gospel of Luke, "O Theophilus," speaking of a lover of God, "of all that Jesus began both to" what? "Do and" what? "Teach." Now, Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, leveled this indictment on the Jews who taught right but did not live right. Those verses state, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege?" Now, you can't say one thing and do another. It's not going to work. It's not an effective way of raising children or being a testimony to your children that you ought to be. Now, God said this about Abraham in Genesis 18, 19. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him." Now, to command implies that you go first where you want your children to go. And then you command them to follow. So if I want my children to be something, I need to show them the example. And then command them to follow as I do. Is that not how Joshua did his household? Does he not say this in Joshua 24, verse 15? "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He led first, and they followed. And since he was going to serve the Lord, he also saw to it that his family did. He led by setting a godly example. You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it? And our children, like it or not, will more often than not, will do as we do and not as we say. You see, our walk talks and our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. I can repeat that too. In 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 9, it tells us of Zechariah who became king over Israel. And listen to what it says. "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin." Now, the point is, often our children do worse than we ever did. And that's why it is written in 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 22, "And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done." How many of you husbands have had your wives say to you, "You're just like your father"? Raise your hand. Am I the only one? Nobody else? You know, when Connie tells me that, it's not a compliment. It's leveling a fault that my father had that is manifesting in my own life. Like it or not, the example of our fathers are passed on to our children. We are to lead our children patiently. We are to take the time and we are to put in the effort to develop in them godly character, but we must be an example that is worthy of being emulated. Number two, we must nurture them. Nurture them. This means we are to instruct them and give them biblical principles to live by. Now, principles are foundational to both convictions and to character. Because "I said so" isn't enough to develop a child's character. It must be because God said so. You know, I didn't have the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. Now, I'm not saying we didn't go to church, so-called, that we didn't thank God for the food that we were about to eat, or that we did not believe that the Bible was the Word of God. It just wasn't read, nor was it put into practice. I'm not saying we grew up totally void of biblical training. We weren't saved, and we embraced a false religion. My father did teach us to work hard. He taught us that when we get married and things aren't working out, you stay married and you work it out. He taught us to always pay our bills, that our words should be our bond. He taught us not to curse or to swear, to keep our mouths shut if we can't say nothing nice about someone. He was very good at instilling in us that there's a heavy price to pay for one's disobedience. He taught us to be responsible, loyal, accountable, to be respectful, to do things right the first time, to be a good neighbor, to live within the confines of the law of the land. Now, he didn't quite put it that way, but he did tell me, he said, "Son, if you ever end up in jail, don't call me, because you're safer behind the bars than you are if you get released and I get a hold of you." He taught me to obey the first time I was spoken to. And he taught me to obey immediately, not when I felt like doing it. You know, he also taught me to be patriotic. He told me to love our country. I remember I grew up, I was a little fella, probably 10, 12 years old, and we would watch the Vietnam War every night on Walter Cronkite. And I remember these people, draft dodgers, they would all go over to Canada. And I remember my dad turning to me and said, "Son, you ever go to Canada, you stay there, don't you come back." He says, "You're not worthy of being an American." And you know what? He also taught me to obey the laws of the land, but he also taught me to respect the flag, that red, white, and blue. You know, he would apply the stripes and I would see the stars. I was brought up a patriot way back when. But you know those lessons? They're all rooted in biblical principles. And he made sure that they molded our character. I have often thought how much easier my home life would have been if I learned those lessons early on instead of having to face the Board of Education. If we fail as fathers to teach our children biblical principles to live by, and we don't bring them to Jesus for salvation, we are total failures as fathers. We need to be godly examples. We need to nurture them. We need to instruct them in biblical principles. And number three, we must admonish them. And I'm talking about discipline. I'm talking about chastening them when a biblical principle we have taught them is violated. The consequence for their disobedience must outweigh any perceived benefit they thought they would receive by sin. Chastening must always be administered by the Father in love and then followed up with forgiveness and restoration. When children are young, the rod of correction is to be applied often to that well-patterned padded area each child is born with. Proverbs 13:24 says, he. Now that's a masculine pronoun, isn't it? So does that sound like maybe dads ought to take the lead in the matter? That spareth his rod, hateth his son. That goes against modern philosophy, doesn't it? But if you don't chastise your child for doing wrong, you are an absentee father. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That word means often. You know, it's sad that some dads want to discipline their kids and mama steps in. Oh, don't hurt my baby. Really? Shouldn't chastening hurt? Shouldn't, you know, there is that saying, no pain, no gain. Don't hurt my baby. Why don't you just turn around, walk away, and let your husband deal with the child in a proper manner? That rod, when applied properly, drives foolishness out of the heart of a child, according to Proverbs 22, verse 15. And the rod and reproof will give a child wisdom, according to Proverbs 29, verse 15. Now, I have found that children, like canoes, best operate when they're paddled from the rear. And it's an important part of their upbringing. Upbringing. Now, every child needs to know that they are being disciplined. And it should not ever be done when we're angry. You know, when you discipline your child, they realize that they belong to you. That's why no father should be disciplining anybody else's kids. It's not their responsibility. You say, well, do you discipline your grandchildren? No, I don't. But I do rat them out. And their parents see to it that they are brought up properly. When discipline is done correctly, when they are young, it'll develop in them an obedient heart. And when they are older, just a sting and rebuke will do the same effect that the rod had. To admonish is to teach or train by instruction, encouragement, reproof, rebuke, correction, blame, or holding them accountable for their action, whether they were provoked or not. Don't let your child get off the hook when they say, well, so-and-so provoked me. No, they are still accountable for what they did. It means to warn. And ultimately, the rod must be administered. There must be no idle threats of chastening that are not carried out. If you do that again, I'm going to spank you. They could do it again. If you do that again, I'm going to spank you and you keep it up. Why in the world do you even waste your breath? Do what you say you're going to do. Remember, dads, to train up a child is a threefold process. First, you must be a godly example by showing them a pattern of Christ's likeness. Number two, you must nurture them by instructing them in biblical principles. Number three, you must admonish them, warning them of consequences of wrongdoing and applying the rod when needed. Now, admonition is an act of love. It's not a reaction of anger. And it's always for the good of the child. Now, how many here realize God chastens us as His children? Now, is there any better example of fatherhood than that? Raise your hand if you know of anyone. Never. And yet He chastens His children, yet some fathers refuse to do that to their own. Now, Hebrews 12:6 says this, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Now, how many think that sounds like a good thing? Then verse 11 of that chapter, now notice what it says. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So the chastening produces what? Righteousness in His children, and it'll produce righteousness in ours. Many a Christian father has failed in one or more areas of training up a child. Some are bad examples, like Ahab. Others are good examples and even instruct them in biblical principles, but they fail to chasten their children when they sin, and any rebuke by the father is then ignored. Such was the case of Eli and his sons. We are told this in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. And he said unto them, speaking of Eli, talking to his sons, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would what? Slay them. Now, how many think Eli was good at chastening his boys when they were young? And now he's trying to rebuke them, and they ignore him. Why? They ignored him when they were young. He never enforced any chastening principles upon them. Eli showed his boys a pattern because, you know, for the most part, Eli was a pretty godly man. Then he rebukes them of their error, but he refused to chasten them when they were children. And now, because he refused to chasten them, God will. Somebody will always chasten your disobedient children if you do not that job yourself. Dads, when you bring children into the world, you are responsible to train them. And when you do, and do it properly, you will be rewarded. For 3 John verse 4 tells us, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Proper training of your children will ensure you have a happy Father's Day, not only today, but all year long. Fathers, train up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.